The scripture reading today comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 29. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me.' Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel." John testified, "I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son.'" The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
While John's gospel doesn't provide a lot of material for Christmas pageants or Christmas cards regarding the birth of Jesus, John does have plenty to say about who Jesus is. In fact, John's basic outline for the gospel is based on the seven great I Am statements, as Jesus identifies himself, saying, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." Maybe this was because John knew there would be a problem with recognition. He somehow knew that we would need a gospel, a season of Epiphany, to guide us on a journey toward recognizing who Jesus is and why he came. In fact, John says as much in the opening chapter of the gospel. He talks about who Jesus is. He was with God in the beginning. He was God. He was the Word, or the revelation and intention and purpose of God that had come in the flesh. He was the light that had come into the world. Yet John says, the world didn't recognize the light. But it wasn't just the world that failed to recognize who Jesus really was. John the Baptist said he didn't recognize him. The opening chapter of the Gospel of John clearly depicts John the Baptist's role in the coming of Christ. Twice he is introduced as a divinely appointed witness to bear testimony of light and of the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. That's right. The divinely appointed messenger, sent to prepare the way for the coming of Christ, says twice in a space of three short verses, "Even I didn't recognize him." It's one thing when the general public doesn't recognize you, but when your own publicist doesn't recognize you, you have a bigger problem. What kept John the Baptist from recognizing who Jesus was? How did he come to recognize Jesus more fully? What did he do once he became aware of Jesus' true identity? Don't these all sound like good Epiphany questions? After all, Epiphany is a season of discovering who Jesus is and why he came to the world. Maybe watching John's evolving understanding of Jesus will guide our Epiphany discovery of Jesus. John the Baptist's failure to recognize Jesus might have a lot more to do with John than it does with Jesus. John the Baptist is the son promised to Zechariah and Elizabeth in an angelic visitation. Scripture reports that Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, mother of Jesus. It was to Zechariah and Elizabeth's house that Mary fled after her angelic promise that she would give birth to Jesus. Undoubtedly, Jesus and John grew up knowing each other. With their age difference being only a few months, they might have always been together at family functions, like peas and carrots, enjoying Jewish festivals and holy days. How difficult might it have been for John to recognize who his favorite cousin really was? Familiarity has a way of becoming a curtain that veils our recognition. By the time of the encounter between John and Jesus in this morning's text, John had taken to the wilderness. The wilderness was a place where those on the margins went to avoid the establishment. John, the son of Zechariah the priest, seems to have sought an exit plan from the family business up at the temple. For whatever the reason, he felt he had no place in organized religion. Something within his own soul called him away into the wilderness to both escape the establishment and to usher in a new kind of kingdom. His message sounded as harsh as his appearance as he stood in the wilderness in camel's hair and leather, pieces of locust stuck between his teeth, and honey dripping from his shaggy beard. Calling people snakes, he spoke of repentance, of axes, shovels, the fire of divine wrath. John had a clear and preconceived idea of what he thought the coming kingdom would be like. When your mind is made up, and John's was, it's hard to recognize anything that differs from your own expectations. So when he baptized his younger cousin in the Jordan River, he saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove resting on Jesus. John might have had two questions. First, why Jesus? And maybe more importantly, why a dove? It was too much for the baptizer. It left him saying, even I didn't recognize him. It wasn't who John was expecting. How could his cousin, whom he had known all of his life, be God's son? Where were the images of divine judgment and wrath? Why the dove, the peace bird? John had imagined axes and shovels. He was expecting winds of judgment and the fire of wrath. He didn't recognize the peace bird as being part of the story. Upon his moment of epiphany, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, and he knew what to do. He let go of his previous misconceptions. He opened himself to the revelation of God that stood right in front of him, soaking wet with the waters of the Jordan. If the John the Baptist was anything, he was bold. Once he had had his epiphany moment, he boldly proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, if this is John the Baptist's best effort of making Jesus known, it seems to have done little to resolve the issue, as confusion about that title still lingers. Bob Cornwell offers us what is as helpful an interpretation as it is simple, saying, in context, we should see this moniker as a symbol of Jesus' divine messianic calling. He is the chosen one, the anointed of the Holy Spirit. And so, as Jesus walks by, John points him out and tells even his own disciples that this is the one they've been looking for. In other words, John the Baptist simply gives up on trying to define who Jesus is or what the kingdom is going to be like. Rather, he lets Jesus go on to make that revelation himself in his I am statements throughout his ministry. John is merely saying, this is indeed whom we have been looking for. But even I didn't recognize him. Not recognizing who Jesus was seems to be an issue with which John the Baptist continued to wrestle. Later, when he was confined in prison, and Jesus did nothing, he sent his disciples to ask whether Jesus was really the one they were expecting. And as only Jesus could do, he told the disciples to go tell John what they saw. The blind were receiving sight. The lame were walking. and the poor were having the gospel preached to them. And that should be proof enough. So what were the questions again? What kept John the Baptist from recognizing who Jesus was? That might have been his familiarity and his preconceived misconceptions. What did he do once he became more aware of Jesus' true identity? He surrendered his own expectations. He opened himself to what God had revealed about Jesus, and he proclaimed that message to others. That still leaves the question of how John the Baptist came to recognize Jesus more fully. And this seems to be the crucial point for us today as we try to learn how to recognize the presence of Christ in our world, to understand more fully who He is, to have our own epiphany moment. John the Baptist received his epiphany and came to recognize who Jesus was by understanding who He was Himself. It was a recognition of and an engagement with His own call that put Him in a place to encounter that eye-opening experience with Jesus. It's when John became a participant in God's plan that he came to recognize who Jesus was. John the Baptist's epiphany occurred when he was where God wanted him to be, in the wilderness. It occurred when John was doing what God wanted him to do, proclaiming the kingdom, whether he fully understood it or not, and baptizing people in the Jordan. That was when he recognized that Jesus was standing right there with him. We aren't going to have to go to the Jordan River and start baptizing people. We may well be called aside to our own wilderness, a place where we are uninhibited by established structure to receive the epiphany that waits for us there. We will probably have to let go of preconceived ideas and be open to what God's kingdom is really all about. But what we will surely have to do in order to arrive at our own epiphany moment is engage in God's purpose and call for us individually. And while we're busy doing that, whatever it is, have an attentiveness to notice the many ways which God is giving life, renewing life, and blessing life. That will be proof enough of who Christ is and that He remains present with us. If we have eyes that can see, if we have hearts willing to play our part, to participate in the process, we will recognize Him too. Amen.